When I was walking around the room with a flag from the menorah, the Lord said, connect. And he kept saying, connect. And I felt like what he was talking about was the Ukraine being here. And Israel, and our heart for Israel. And everything that he's doing through the earth, he wants to connect it. And especially to put it back in the context in which he first formed it. In the roots of the faith in Messiah that were formed in Israel, that were formed among the Jewish people. Oh, connect, God! Allow us, Father, in Yeshua's name, to come together under the banner of your love and what you're doing in Yeshua's name.
I agree. God loves to connect things, and he likes to connect things in threes. You ever notice that? You know, body, soul, spirit. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Sorry. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a good one. So I think there's something interesting happening in these days in Baltimore. You know, there's three things. Rodney Harrow Brown. We have Rabbi Anton Antonovich from Ukraine here. And Georgi Banoff here. That's three. There's a connection there. And I believe that that's a prophetic connection because God wants to bring revival to Baltimore. And he does it in threes. So here's what I want us to do prophetically. I want to invite Rabbi Anton to come up as here he is. And if we could all stand. And we're going to declare revival over Baltimore. Because of what God has initiated. He's initiated this, and he's doing something in Baltimore. And we were all believing. Many of you have been praying for a long time for revival to come to Baltimore. Yeah. Why not now?
Renaissance.
So I'm gonna have Anton blow the shofar prophetically to declare revival over Baltimore, and then we're just gonna shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Like Isaiah tell, we hear mouths like shofar. Not only this, your mouth is like shofar. You know, this very, very special revelation in Isaiah, and
Isaiah reminds us that we have that kind of voice. We don't have to expect somebody else to come and to shout for us. We ourselves should shout. Okay? That's why when I'm going to blow my shofar, try to raise your voice to the Lord. For these walls would go down in this city, in this place, in America. For the heaven have heard that there is a church of God which is raising its voice in the name of the Lord, and it's waiting for its king. That's why it's important for you today not to sleep, for you today to shout, for God gives you this voice.
Okay.
Yes! Yes! Revival! Yeshua! Hallelujah! Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! Revival, yes, Lord. Okay.
I have one question, only one. You need real God? You need or not?
Yes.
You won't see power of God? I think no, 100%, maybe 50%. Лена, скажи, если бы мы так кричали,
if you would shout this way, in Ukraine, our enemy would destroy us already. But now, if you would come to Ukraine, you will see what Church of God does in Ukraine. That's why.
Like chicken. No, I am evil. Or maybe I am lying. Yes?
Yeah.
Come on. 1, 2, 3. Whoa!
Just quickly, when I just lost his name because I'm having when Anton was having us yell, I had an image of a little girl in Baltimore and I arms around her, and I feel like we were crying out for the next generation revival over the children, and I'm believing for that. I want to pray for that. So Lord, we just say yes to that. We say yes to your will, yes and amen, that you would touch the children of this area, rise them up to be a new generation in you, Lord God, and revival will break forth even from the youngest now in the name of Jesus.
Yes. We say amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, here's confirmation of that. Great connect. Great connect. Where's Dorothy? Connections. More connections in the spirit. All right. There's a little girl in our midst, and I would imagine it's all the children, that they easily see the angelic. Okay? So I just grabbed this one little gal who I know already, and I thought, interview her right away. You know, we're in the meeting. I said, have you seen the angelic yet? She goes, yes. I said, where is it? Where is it? She goes, over on this side of the room. And over on this side of the room. And I said, what's he wearing? What's the colors? What kind of angel? Do you know your angels? You know, is he worshiping with us? It's about the height of everybody. And we know they're invited when we worship. So I believe there was a worshiping angel with us. But possibly something more. I had my eyes closed as the worship was continuing. It was getting to such a high point. And then I knew that Georgian had gone over there with my eyes closed when Georgian started to play his violin. I started seeing, it's the heart of God with this. I started seeing blue flashes of light going off. And I've been listening to a lot of prophetic teachings lately. And I've heard that, like in past revivals, the Lord will show up with a blue light, which means healing. So I want to declare and decree that by our worship, the healing angels are here, and the healing is already being released, and possibly in the worship, somebody has already been touched and healed, and maybe you need to bring that testimony forth. So, and that came from a child. Okay. Amen.
My brother, Mike Baker, just shared a prophetic sense after he talked. He consulted Rabbi Google this morning, and about the what Hebrew month we're in, which is the month of Adar, which is the happiest month in Hebrew tradition, happiest month of the year. So there we go. We happy. We love happy. All right, Nick. Purim is this month. That's right. Purim is coming up in a few days. That's right. This weekend, I think. And my wife was exercising a prophetic gift. She's been saying to me over the past week, you know, we just need to take our worship outside. Come on. We did it. So I just want to release dancing in the streets all throughout the week today, this week, so you all can continue dancing in the streets. All right. Praise God. Well, this is awesome. Well, there's more awesome to come. Before we get to it's my pleasure to have Georgian Banoff with us this morning. But not only Georgian, but he's brought some of his team with him from the Global Celebration School of Ministry. We'd like to welcome all of you. So a little hand for them. Yes, thank you. Stand up. Thank you. Good to have you. And also, as you've already seen, we want to welcome back Rabbi Anton Antonovich and his wife Luba, and translator Lena. Welcome from Ukraine. A lot going on in Ukraine right now. Got to keep praying for Ukraine. and the church in Ukraine. All right. Well, many of you know Georgian. Some of you may not. So I want to do my best to give a little brief introduction for Georgian. Here we go. Georgian, he was born in communist Bulgaria when it was still a communist in the Soviet Union's bloc. As a teenager, he was the founding member of the first official rock band in Bulgaria. Come on. Isn't that cool? He escaped the Iron Curtain, and he met the Lord when he came here to the United States. It was during the end of the Jesus movement. Anybody else besides me and Georgian who were saved during the Jesus movement? All right. Come on. We got something in common here. And was it 1974, Georgian? You had your encounter with Jesus. And obviously his life was totally transformed. And 40 years ago. Yeah, not 20. 40 years ago. Wow. So soon after he became a believer, he became the leader of a contemporary Christian band called Silver Wind in the 80s. And he's also the co-writer and co-producer of a famous children classics. Maybe you've heard of Bullfrogs and Butterflies. That's him. And also The Music Machine. They sold over 3.5 million copies worldwide, earned the Dove Awards and the Grammy nominations. Wow. Come on. So, and since then, Georgian and his wife Winnie, they travel all over the world. Mike and Susie just went with him to Israel just a few weeks ago. They travel all over the world, particularly the third world countries, to minister to the poorest of the poor. They do Jesus celebrations, love feasts. I just hope one day I can go with them because all I hear about it just sounds absolutely off the charts. So rather than me trying to tell you more, how about we just hear from Georgian himself? Let's welcome Georgian.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. What a feast. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence. And just let's give the band a huge God bless you. Thank you so much. Leading us amazingly. Yeah. Wow. And what a timing with Rabbi Anton and his beautiful family and friends to be together today. Just the perfect timing of the Lord. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every event. He knows every second. And I was with a couple of our students last night at the gate, and we were sharing and this morning how every moment, you know, as a student for the Lord, as a disciple, we have the privilege to capture every moment and make it a Jesus event. I mean, every moment is so special. And if you just connect with that, your life is going to be just a pearl of strings, a string of pearls, whatever you want to call it. I'm on violence, so I just think of strings, but in terms of pearls. But the Lord has been, you know, being 40 years in the Lord, 20 by the Caleb calendar, you know, he always half, you know, Halef and Joshua, amen? Halef at 80, I was like feeling like 40 and acting like 40. So that's a good calendar to go by, you know. Count half of the years. And God multiplies energy and joy and strength to swing the sword of the Lord and to the word of God and to declare the destinies of God, His will, amen? And so I just want to affirm you in your destiny, affirm you in the fact that every moment is planned by the Lord. And, you know, as you receive the Lord as Savior and Master, and He just does the master calendar, and He fits you in His calendar. And He prepares these great works for which you are ordered to step into, you know. And if you line up your calendar with His calendar, it will be nothing but great works that He will do for you. That's prepared, prepared, say prepared. This is a destiny from God. You're God's people, and every day count, every moment count, every hour, every moment of the day count. Every moment is precious. Ooh, in its ordinary, in its ordinariness, there is a divine gold for Jesus, gold or silver or precious stone, or could be, you know, a paper and so forth. But we're looking into the gold moment, and God prepared gold for you to be bringing gold in heaven. Amen. Amen. How many know you can bring things from here in heaven? And from here we bring gold and silver, precious stones, and last for eternity. Woo! Come on. Might as well get on with the gold and the silver and the precious stones that you get to keep for eternity. Get to keep for eternity. Come on. Woo! Ho! Well, it's a Purim festival, and next Saturday. It's the 16th, and so it's the Purim month, the happiest month for Israel, because Israel was spared because of Esther, because she took herself, she realized the destiny of God. It wasn't just another Jewish girl, it was Esther, and it was Mordechai who did not bow down to the Hamans of the world. Amen. Did not bow down to the culture of the world, but had a superior culture of heaven. Come on, it's your carrier of the culture of heaven is superior than the culture of this world. And as you refuse to bow down and coward in fear or intimidated by the culture of the world, you know, the culture of heaven floods not only in you but through you. It floods to around and changes the culture. Wow, holy boldness. So just step into it. That every moment is a Jesus moment, you know, and as you bow to Him, worship to Him, you know, then your heart gets filled and captivated to overflowing. Before you know it, you're stepping boldly, and here you are, you know, before the King. She was before the King, but you before the King of Kings, and His scepter of righteousness. It says, "Yes, come on in, come onto the throne room, and tell me what you want. Tell me what's in your heart. You know, what are you getting from me?" And God's intercessory spirit is praying through you and getting you prepared. You know, and before you know it, you're shifting Baltimore. You're changing Baltimore. You say, "I want Baltimore for Jesus." I want every neighborhood, I want every child not to sink into the garbage of the world, but to be saved and protected. And I want the prostitutes, I want the you know, down and outs, I want the homeless, I want the orphans, I want the widows, starting with those. Give us the foreigners, and then give us the whole city. Amen. Amen. The poor and the rich, everybody, we want it all for Jesus. Amen. And you step into it. And the King says, "Okay, I'll reverse the sentence of the enemy, and I'll give you what you want." Amen. Come on. Come on. Woo. You know, in Esther, I was just struck by this one in the chapter 8. It says, you know, after, you know, the plot was exposed and everything, and the enemy got hung on his own gallows, and then she went in again, and she asked again for, you know, to be spared, for the Jews to be spared. And the King says, "Go ahead now and write whatever you decide on behalf of the Jews, then seal it with a signet ring." Here's the signet ring. "Go ahead and write down whatever you want for the destiny other people around you, or whoever you care about. Go ahead." I mean, what an intercession, what a permission. You know, Susie and Mike has been our intercessor leaders for 13 years now, or something like that, something dramatic, you know. And every prayer, you know, Susie leads on, you know, the Lord just says yes and amen. "Go ahead and write your request, and whatever you want, I'll just grant it." What a favor. What a favor. Jesus paid for that favor. Yes. Come on. Amen. Yeshua paid for that favor. And so you have to step into it. As you embrace Him, everything that He paid for demonstrates it. And at the end, we'll finish with ministry from our students, and they're amazing. They've given their lives this whole year for focusing all everything on the Lord. And we're so proud of them. We're so excited. And we have quite a few today. And so we're just going to just have them pray for you and bless you and prophesy for you and heal every sickness. Every sickness must bow down. Every sickness is destined to bow down before the feet of Jesus. Come on, as you're in His feet, that's because Esther was, you know, she just, you know, she threw herself at the feet of the king and begging with tears to counter the evil plot of Haman and revoke the plan that he was plotted against the Jew. So as you and I have the privilege of, you know, throwing ourselves in Jesus' feet, not only His feet, but, you know, His heart. Amen. We're not begging in a sense of orphan, but we accept it. We're like the John the Beloved. That's the image I have for you. John the Beloved. He is like leaning on Jesus' heart. He found the source of life. He found the source of, you know, the center of the universe is at Jesus' heart when he was on earth, you know, because he was the center of the throne was in him. The Father expressed his will and centered it on Yeshua. And Jesus was the center of the universe. And now he chose you to live in you. So now in you is the center of the universe. Because Jesus is the center of the universe. So when you receive Jesus, you line up in the axle of the not only the world, but the whole universe. Everything goes around him. We go around him. As we go around him, the world goes peripheral around us. That's what the Bible says. Oh, how many read the Bible? I read the Bible. I believe every word. And I'm excited about every word. And don't just think about it, but I embody it. You know, you got to embody the word. Because some people might not see the Bible, but they see you. They see the word. It's the person of the word and the letters of the word. You know, written on the heart. You know, he's written himself on your heart. And so if they don't see him or they don't see, you know, the Bible, but they see you, they see Jesus. Yes. He's inside you. Yes. And so I picked you to show how good I am. Yes. In you and through you. Amen. Come on. The difference between Christianity and every other religion is that every religion, you know, knows that God is good, at least says that God is good, and you know, wants good for, you know. But in the same time, you know, it's free to do evil things, you know. And because they know God is good, but we know not only that God is good, but God is good in us. And God is good through us. And God is only good in us. And God is only good through us. No changes in Him. He's good and He is showing His goodness in you. So not only God is good, everybody knows God is good. But we only carry God, the good God in us. Come on. He is in us. He chose us to be His body. He's the head. We are the body. Yes. Amen. Woo! Come on. We're cells of His body. And we all have equal value to Him. It's like every cell in your body is of equal value. And so are we of equal value. He values us. And through us, He shows how He values the whole humanity. He holds it, values everybody. And in a daily conversation, you know, in the most natural conversation, we just release His goodness and Him. And He likes to say hello to people. He likes to notice their hair, their makeup, or something that, and make a comment. You know, it can. God shows in the ordinary things, just the noticing a human being around you, and noticing, you know, whatever, you know, just, and you know you're so unique, and you can only notice certain things, like you like a color of purple or green and something, and you will notice that. And God has given this unique taste in the ordinary things of your humanness. God shows His divine nature, and you notice things around you, and through just these kind of simple things, God wins them. God befriends them, and because everybody likes to be noticed, and Jesus has noticed everything in everybody, and even little children, He notices everything. And He stops and acknowledges, and He just like that. And so He's using us now together corporately with the Jesus on earth. And so each has a part to play, and no one can play your part. You know, and you don't have to be like professional speakers or nothing. You could just be you, and God will do things that He will never. That's the gold. That's the gold you're going to carry for eternity when you stop for that one and just say hello and show interest. And from that point on, the prophetic starts to go. The prophetic starts to flow. It's starting with an ordinary hello, acknowledgement. You know, there's nobody on earth that I know does not appreciate to be noticed. And that's how we started our ministries. And toward the end, I'll show you a little DVD. And it's just beautiful. I just saw it last night for the first time. And our team made it. And it's very touching, you know, because of the nations and the people. And the Lord has just made us to stop for this nation and that nation. And recently we were in Israel, you know. And how many were in Israel with us? Anybody here? There we are, Mike and Susie. And we had a group of 70 plus, 75 or something. For years now we've been going around February, something like that. And the Lord, you know, because when you go to Israel, usually the tour guides kind of tell you what you can and cannot do, you know, because this has certain rules and things. So I says, Lord, can you just, you know, I know the rules are important, but can you make a way for me to minister somehow? You know, I know you shouldn't do this or that, but can you make a way? And the Lord says, if you want to, you know, help Israel, if you want to bless Israel, go to where the enemies are, where the pain comes from, where the fosters, where the wound is fostering, you know. Go to the West Banks. And I go, Lord, if you open the door, I'd love to go, you know. And because once you go once to Israel, you know, and especially as an American group, you sit in a bus and the tour guide tells you this and that, and it's great to hear all that. But then after once, you just want to do something. You know, you don't want to just sit, but you just want to do something. I mean, it's wonderful to see everything, but you want to do something. And so the Lord says, let's go to the West Bank. So through missionaries and ministers, bold missionaries in Israel, that the Lord opened the door inside Bethlehem. There's three refugee camps. He opened the door to all three, but specifically this one, the largest one, something like 11,000 people, and crammed into one small quarters. And it's a dangerous place, and it's so dangerous that the whole Bethlehem is surrounded with a huge wall to protect Jerusalem. It's like 5 miles away from the violence that is coming out of those, especially the big camp, but even all the other ones. And I've learned one thing: when you minister for Jesus, food is a big deal. It really helps a lot, you know. And so whatever you do, don't forget food, you know, include somehow food, you know. And so I says, well, can we feed, you know, so this youth leader of the camp, quite dangerous young man himself, his name is Jihad. They'll tell you where his mindset is anyways, but a ticking bomb, really, 7 years ago, or 8 years ago. And so he's not a religious man. He is... he is a communist himself, you know. I grew up in communist, so I know how to talk to communists. And so the plan was to bring out about 500 of the children and young people into the nearby building where there's a restaurant with, so we could feed them. Well, but when we got there, the mosque inside the refugee camp found out that we're not just NGOs, but we're Christians. So they officially forbid for any of the parents to let the children go out, you know, and to be fed by these Christians. You know, so Jihad is there waiting for those kids to come out. He's just found out that, you know, the mosque is against that lunch. So he's upset with that because he's stuck with us here. We are waiting with food. And so he's a bit of embarrassed because he agreed to do that only for social reasons, for communists, to feed the poor. That, to him, that's good. But now this religious people are against that. So he's talking to them. And meanwhile, I'm saying, Jihad, you know, maybe this is even better, because actually I always really wanted to go in there, but, you know, we didn't know if we could or not. So this is exactly what really I originally wanted to do. So let's go in there. And so he goes, you go in there. I says, yes, you're crazy. I says, I know I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. You know, and he's crazy about you and your people. He loves you, you know, and we are just expression of that love. And so let's go. I mean, he was so shocked because, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, no one has ever been inside, especially a group of Americans, a bus full. It's what they look to put a bomb and explode. And we park the bus here, go, we love you, you know. So they don't know what to do because we're supposed to be scared and frightened and run away from them, not even go in there, but go far away, you know. And so, anyways, he doesn't know what's happening. It's a confusion. You know, when the Lord comes, the enemy gets confused. So that enemy spirit is confused now because we're not afraid of it. And so we says, look, let's not waste time. This lunch is getting cold. And so let's just go. So we put the lunch in bags, and so he is in disbelief. He doesn't know what's happening. So he's just taking us, and he just doesn't understand what's happening. So he's taking us in through these tiny little streets. I mean, it was really scary looking, small places that, you know. But we're going because we're going with the praises of the Lord. As we're praising the Lord, the presence of the Lord is there. And this, the joy of the Lord, nothing like the joy of the Lord to confuse the demons, because they cannot sustain in a frequency of joy. They panic. They just freak out. Just freaks them out, you know, and paralyzes. The joy literally paralyzes. If you just, you know, get a simplicity of the power of joy, you know, and sustain it, just ask the Lord to keep, you know, giving you joy from inside. You know, it's not an external thing, but conquers the external. It's internal. The spirit of the Lord is fruit is joy, love, joy, peace, you know. So you go where there's no peace, you bring the peace. The Prince of Peace is inside you. And he just wants, just bring me there. Just get your body in there. Bring me in there and watch what I'm going to do. So we're like a carrier of peace. Woo! And we change things like Esther. Esther changed things. You know, Esther. It just by nature of who is inside you, it changes things. It changes things. And just all you have to do is get your body there. And he will do the rest. I mean, your mind and your heart, of course, and your affections, everything, of course. But physically, get there, because your soul is inside you. So you got to get that body there. And we're walking in there with a fiddle and different instruments, flags. There was flaggers and just bouquets of God just procession, praising, procession, just flooding in, and bags of food. It's always good to, yeah, just in case the deaf don't hear the praise, the food calms them down. Oh, there's food, you know. But the sound of praise is, you know, before you know it, literally 100, maybe 120, 150 children running out of nowhere. They have never seen an outsider. So to them, that was like, you know, and one of those children, 8 years ago, is today one of the leaders of the camp that tour, that, like, took us around and told us. One of the leaders, the younger, the one that was with us, he's like 20, you know, 5 or 6 now. So one of those teenagers, he says, I remember you when you first came with your crazy group, you know. And just, I mean, he just never seen anything like, they never seen outsider, more or less, Christians filled with the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. So it was a shock to his young mind. And now he is a leader. Jihad has moved. But let me finish the story so I can tell you the consequence. So we went inside, giving away the food, but the children wanted more than the food. I mean, food was good, but the more than the food is just the attention, the sounds, and we'd give them a hug. Before you know it, their parents come, you know, come out and from the little houses to see what's happening. And, you know, if you come with us, which really should come with us at least once to taste and see what amazing thing God does. You know, we take exactly the presence of the Lord, like here, to the most difficult places, and God does wonders. Puts heaven in places that, like, it's like, seems like hell, but God puts heaven through us. Amen. Changes us. No one can stop it. You know, no one can stop the Lord, you know. And so anyways, if you come with us, we'll give you a training, extensive training. It goes like this. Open your arms. Give him a big hug. And by the end of the trip, we'll give you a hugging degree. You know. Woo! And as you've been 2-3 times with us, we have a doctorate for you, hugging doctorates and master degrees and professor of hugging, you know, and so forth. Amen. Woo-hoo-hoo. So, you know, as people, and we just basically instruct you to look for opportunity to hug somebody. You know, some may not, you know relate to that, but at least if there's an openness, give it a go. 9 out of 10 people just melt to get a hug from, you know, just, you know, because, like, especially in the culture of the Muslim culture, Allah is not necessarily a hugging God. Hello. Muhammad doesn't know them by name, and I'm not trying to be derogative. We want to honor what anybody believes, you know, their belief systems. But the truth is that Isa, Yeshua, he knows people by name. Even in the Quran, it says that he knows you and he heals you. He's connected with people. He's the healer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyways, we start hugging these little people coming out, and then getting a hug from a strange. And no one has hugged them. It's like just amazing, you know. And so it's shocked, and it's turning the mind, and then we're giving away the food. Sang 3 or 4 songs throughout the journey, and then we walked out from the other side. Next day, the Israeli surveilling team, because they surveil what's happening in there, the leader, the captain, is talking to me and says, we're very aware and very impressed, actually, of what you did yesterday, how you changed everything inside the camp. I'm going, what do you mean change everything? Well, we watched you come in, went in, and then you came out. Wow. That was a change. I mean, you have to see that to this day, they go in there with tanks and in these little places with armed vehicles. And you know, sometimes they have to throw a tear bomb gas, because to control the situation is very volatile. Last year we walked in one of the camps that we did art classes, and the idea is drop the guns, pick up the brush, you know. So we sort of, okay, we are with you, express yourself, but not through violence. Just go ahead and, you know, do a picture or something. And then with widows, we have ongoing feast for the widows and give them groceries and things like that, and sing songs and worship songs. The widows respond amazingly. They know, because we honor them as widows, you know. Even the terrorist widows, we honor them as widows, because God says to honor the widows. And that sends an amazing message throughout the whole camp and opens doors for us. So anyways, I didn't realize at the time it was that dangerous. Probably wouldn't have done it, but I didn't quite know. And the Lord just kept it that way. Now we're going freely in there. Jihad, our former tour guide inside the refugee camp, is now in Jordan studying to be a nurse. So from ticking bomb to helping and nursing people, that's a transformation that is just amazing. Yes. Then all these things noted by the Israeli army, they love these kind of things because, you know, they can only hold the trouble within, but they cannot change it. But they know that we come and change. They say never seen smiles in that camp until you guys went in there and did your crazy prophetic worship. That's exactly what the captain told me, the Israeli the captain says. That is the most impressive thing, is how you, with your music, because here's a musician, happened to be a musician. He says, in 3 years of being a soldier, I've never seen a single smile inside that camp. But you guys brought smiles. You know, for a soldier, that's very important. First step of changing the enemy is getting them to smile. That's a progress in the right direction. Come on. The Lord is starting a smile revolution through us. Smiling revolution. Smiles. That's huge. That's transforming the enemy. If they can start smiling around you, before you know it, they start changing from the enemy into friend. Friendship comes with, smile comes with friendship. It's the first phase of friendship. It smiles. Softening and wondering. Wow. Amen. And so today, three weeks ago, we're going. And now a young generation, the new generation who were kids when we went in first, now they're the leaders and tell us all their stories and so forth. And of course, we listen, sympathizing with the human experience. You know, not that we agree with this or that, but we just listen. We honor their situation. And so with that patience and interest, you know, that's how it starts. So we're listening. Then we went to the widows, and we began to minister to the widows with worship. They always allow us to sing worship songs, the leaders of the camps. And the widows are there. Some of them are covered their faces and tears. They're falling and wetting their little cloth and stuff and things. And the Holy Spirit is moving. They begin to respond. They allow us to pray for healing for them and love them and hug them. And, of course, the women and from our group. But the presence of God is so intense and so strong that the leaders, like this young generation, is backing out and looking at me. And I'm going, you see what's happening? He says, let me talk to you. So he sits down and says, what is this? I can touch it almost. It's so real. I said, that is the presence of the Lord. And I says, we're serving Jesus and we're not telling you what you should do, you know, in the sense of pushing Christianity on him. But I says, I really tell you, this is what you're sensing is the tangible presence of God. And one of his names is I'm the Way. One of his other names is he's a door. And I says, he's a way and a door. And he is a way and a door for you. If you want a door out of this situation, and if you want to open door for your friends and for your generation, because you have a life to live. And if you want to live your life out of this prison, out of this camp, Jesus is the door. He calls himself the door. If you just ask him, if you honor him and receive him as the door, you will see what doors he's going to open for the whole. This is a whole generation. You got life to live. You can't live it inside here. They tell us they can't stand it. But nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. It's a stalemate. No politician can fix it. United Nations, nobody can fix it. This is a stalemate situation except Jesus. Amen. Woo. Jihad is now in Jordan studying to be a nurse. They know, you know, because he brought us in. And now he's out. You know, they say he's going to be a doctor. And so I says, what about you? He says, can we talk more about this? I said, good, come to my hotel tonight, we'll talk more. So he comes tonight in the night and bring the other tour guide, both of them, both in their mid-20s, young life. And I says, you know, again, I say, I'm not trying to convert you to Christianity. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about a door, a way out from this situation. This is just suggestion, you know, but I'm 40 years, I know the door, because I was behind a communist, I was behind a wall exactly like this one, in your face, bigger than thing, life, and putting us together, cramping us together, not allowing us to get out, you know, but God. I'm here as a free man because God took me out of a prison, a nation in prison, a city is in prison, and he took me out. And so I says, okay, would you allow me to pray for you and to receive this? This is the first time now I'm doing this. He says, they both says yes. Bow their heads. I grab their hands and begin to pray for Yeshua to accept in Jesus, Lord. That's amazing, amazing, amazing story. Thank you, Jesus. And so there's a tremendous ongoing progress, but it like sometimes takes 8 years. But the patience of the Lord. And you're going, and it's just the patience of the Lord. You know, sometimes you just need to arm yourself with the patience. Although be ready for the, you know, the immediate, the change, you know. But everything is a change. There is no way not change when you, with Jesus, are walking in some situation. There is no way not to have a change. There's always a change. You know, it sometimes takes repeat. Because the Lord repeated his visits to Abraham. Abraham. And that he wasn't an immediate believer. You know, he was Gentile, and he was, just going around. But God kept visiting him. And God had the patience to visit after visit. And at one time, of course, there was food involved. And finally, there is a change. Because befriending comes. And he became a friend. It says the wild branch becomes, you know, what's the opposite to wild? Tamed, yeah. So taming, like God is untaming business. He befriends. And friendship is something divine. It works trust. Trust is like not something you can do. Trust is something, is a gift. Faith is a gift. Faith is not something you can do. Faith is a person who gives himself for you. He gives himself personally to you in personal visits. And that's how faith begins to work on us. The life we live by the faith of the Son of God. He's sharing his life with us. And his presence carries faith. Faith comes. You don't have faith, no worries. Jesus got it, and we got it. So as long as you can hear us, faith comes for you, for whatever the situation need to be. Faith comes from someone who has it and is given away. Amen. That's how it's a gift, because someone who's got it, you hear it, and you know, your heart is made, you are made to respond to certain things, like you are made by God to respond to love. It conquers you. As true love, you can't turn it down. Because it's a craving of every human being, love. Craving. Say craving. Craving. It's a craving of humanity, is personal love. You know, personal attention. Most people who are here in this church, most people who are here in the congregation of the Lord today, all over this place, it's because someone took personal time. 95% of people who remain in church in the body of Christ, there have been someone who took time. Come on. And that's what we are here for, to take time with someone else. And that's how Jesus works. He is just consistent. He shows love. And no one can resist love. And once you get it, you do anything for love. I can do anything for love. But I won't do that. You know, it's like love makes you do anything. Even in non-Christian context, love is empowering. You know, love just conquers you. When you fall in love, everybody can tell. Except you. You don't even know what's going on because you're like, you're God. You know, in a natural works like that. God rules through love. Amen. And faith is the same way. Faith rules. You know, you and I are ruled by what we believe. That's the reason we're here, we unite, because we believe the same thing. Yeah. And it makes us. It just gets us going, motivates us to go and get together, because there's more of what we believe in a huge level together. And faith rules us. That's why it's so important to every moment to feed on the Lord. And that's how faith increases. It's relationally increases. You don't have to force it. You just stand with it. You drink it. Your relation. Amen? Amen. Woo! Yeah. That's a beautiful presence of the Lord now. Get ready for healing, starting with cancer, starting with terminal disease, and down to the sniffles and coughings and flus in Jesus' name, as we're honoring the Lord, as we're honoring Him and what He did. Very important to honor Him for the works of the Lord. In Israel, there was continuously rehearsal and praises of the works of the Lord. Great are the works, so we're stepping on the great works, and then He leads us to greater works. Amen. So as we honor Him, as we you know, declare His great works and a cross, which He accomplished every reason for you not to be sick. He accomplished every reason for you not to be in bondage to sin or some rules or laws or some religious things, but to be free to experience Him as a personal Savior, love for love. Personal love Savior. Woo! So He defeated every reason to block you from having a personal, intimate relationship. He defeated the cross by nailing a violent death. He nailed everything that was blocking for you. Everything that was blocking for you. Even seemingly good things Him can block. He's defeated good and bad and the ugly. Three nails. Boom, boom, boom. Woo! To make a way to have your personal connection with the Lord. Personal connection to the Lord. No middleman. Personal connection. As good as Moses was, now we have direct Jesus connection. Come on. Direct. No blocking. Woo! And that's a huge price He paid to eliminate all blocks. So He can step boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and help in time of need. Anything you need. Step on that, because it's your place is right there, because Jesus is on the throne and you're one of His cells of His body. Come on. So it's a place for you. So as your spirit is totally connected, connect your thoughts, connect your emotions and affections and everything, because we are emotional beings. We can't just think something. You just have to support it. You just let it invade your emotions and affection like it has this morning already. And so, it's just every day. You're made for Him. Ooh. Come on. So starting with the big sicknesses, the small sicknesses, they say as we acknowledge Him, as we discern His body, those go away. They go away. They have no authorities to stay. Amen. Whoa. Ooh. Okay, here's what I just have different music CDs there. As they mention about this children things are the best. Still outsold everything. I have other CDs with joy, lots of joy, live worship with joy. We have a whole series on Blistronica. Bliss means great happiness, joy, ecstasy, or salvation. So this is a unique music, kind of dance. Kind of electronic, whatever the difference is, but there is, for those who know the styles,
that it's good.
There's a difference. And then, of course, there's more of a meditative, deep worship, you know, just with the violin, you know, soaking. And for some of the live CDs, what you're driving, by the way, just giving you fair warning, because people have gotten tickets speeding, and when the joy hits, they just take off down the road. And so I'm just giving you warning so you don't have a police behind you and you try to explain why you're speeding. Well, I listened to the Joy City of Georgia, and you know, I was like, yeah, right. Pay the fine. So I'm just preventing you. These are teaching series. There's lots of teaching series. And there's little booklets. Who is the Roman Seven Man? It is a very cool book, on tiny little book, but it's a hot pepper. It reveals the whole, schizophrenia of someone try to serve the Lord in its own effort. Romans 7. Second half to Romans 7, it deals with this struggling. It doesn't have to be a Jewish person struggling with the law. It could be spirit-filled, any kind of a situation, but you drifted from living in that abundant grace of power, of influence of God, that you and the Lord together. And you slip into you trying to do something for Him, rather than him and you together. Amen. So that's what that little book is about. And then, of course, we have a book on bliss, which is my wife's little creation. Both these, actually, Winnie has developed. And this is all the scriptures in the Bible that have the word bliss, or at least that she found out. She keeps finding new ones. It's not in a concordance. So bliss is like bliss. It's not in King James. It's in other translations. So, for instance, most of you know that King James, Psalm 16 says, "In His presence there's fullness of joy, and in His right hand there's bliss forevermore." But in King James says pleasure forevermore, which is something like that. Pleasure and joy all mixed together is bliss. So that's what. So I want to give this to Pastor Anton to take to Ukraine. So all the CDs. Yeah. And it's not in Russian. I'm sorry, but it's like in English, but I'm Bulgarian. I speak Russian. He and I talk Russian. And his friends. And so we all from Ukraine. Oh, Lord, bless Ukraine, especially now, Lord. We stand with our brothers, Lord, for the peace and authority over the enemy. It's not the human enemy. It's a spiritual enemy that wants to destroy Ukraine, just like always. The enemy wants to destroy, but we are just destroying that power by the power of Yeshua, the Messiah, who has authority, like He had authority over Egypt, over the most powerful nation at the time, and totally destroyed the power of the enemy. Destroy its mindset and its economy and its mobility and its strongholds and everything. So we just declare destruction of the enemy of Ukraine right now, and whether it be it the Russians or whoever, we just release the peace of God on them to back off and not to be violent against the Ukraine. And so we just empower the believers to step in the authority on the throne and command from the throne of God the enemy of Ukraine to be destroyed. Not physical, not flesh and blood. We're speaking of powers and principalities in heavenly place. They want to destroy this nation. Amen. We just smash them in the face in Jesus' mighty name. All the demons back off and be under our feet as a footstool. Under our feet, as God has declared, the Father, "Sit down, my son, until I make a footstool of your enemy and put all authority under your feet and release the blessing of God on the people in the mighty name of Jesus." Woo! Shara babara karasatra karisha. Wow. And I received that invitation. So we have so much to share, but we felt the essence, and we're so honored to be here this morning and to share with you. And so we'd like to show this little DVD before you receive an offering that's like alms.
Yeah. Because adventure, lifetime.